6:30, let's call this special Planning Commission meeting to order here at 6:31 on Wednesday, October 13th. Second agenda item then is approval of the minutes of the October 6th meeting. Get a chance to review.
Just one question. Mm-hmm. What was the results of the formulation with the staff on the deadline for the house move completion of exterior work? Was anything done?
I was not in attendance on that, so last week.
Right, I called Mr. Batista and the construction company involved in the moving, and they had said they are currently speaking with the department regarding just getting the permit to move. And I also spoke with Tom, who is a building expert in our department. And so we'll be working with Mr. Batista, with Tom, regarding the timeline as to when they move the house, the different stages in the activity going on there. We'll be able to determine the timeline for them. So it's still pretty open for now.
At this point, nothing has been...
No, nothing has been confirmed now, yeah. Nothing.
The wording...
But we're not...
Condition.
Right.
Covers all of it.
Right. Yeah, requiring exterior work shall be completed within...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, I'll accept a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
All right. Motion approved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. To our third agenda item is the review of the Wilmer Poultry land sale. Willard, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sure. So the first item on our docket here is we're looking at a land sale that, at least price-wise, was recently approved on October 4th by the Wilmer City Council. The commission's purview tonight is just to, assess that land sale and determine to what extent it aligns with the objectives lined out in our comp plan. So just a little background. So council approved the sale of 4.1 acres as an addition to property at 2775th Street Southwest, and that is owned by Wilmer Poultry Innovations. And so what they're hoping to do there is expand a turkey brooding facility that's on that property already. The building will be expanded into this addition. And the property, there's an aerial in your packet. The page number is cited. You can also look up on the screen for that parcel. So right now that addition, it is city owned. It's on an ag lease to a farmer. And also of note, nearby is the trap range to the southwest. There is the brush site, and then there's the wastewater facility directly to the west. And so given that, kind of our objective here today is to consider how well it aligns with the comp plan. The comp plan is actually silent on the specific use of this particular area. I did check with sort of the operators of those respective facilities to see their thoughts on whether, on how, if at all, this addition might affect their operations. And the answer sort of across the board was no, that wouldn't have any effect on their operations. And of particular concern was the trap range. Would they be falling? Would they be sort of in the shot fall zone? And, you know, even if it's at a relatively safe, slow speed, would they have shot falling on their property and whatnot? They are in compliance with statutory and DNR regulation in that regard. The radius for the shot fall zone for the sort of shot and size of shot that they're using is 300 yards. They are 64 feet out of that, so they are A-okay as far as regulation goes. As far as the ag lease goes, our lease with them stipulates that It is the city's prerogative to terminate that lease at any time, and the only liability there is that we will have to reimburse the farmer for whatever crops are destroyed at the time of purchase. But from what I've heard, there are no concerns from the part of the farmer, and I believe council is also on board with that. And so with that, staff recommends approval of the purchase agreement and forwarding this item to city council for further review.
Okay, any discussion, commissioners?
Yeah, so comprehensive land use plan, when this was discussed, I mean, is this this sale, did I understand correct that the city can buy it back? What were you saying as far as during the time that the farmer would, you'd have to pay back?
Oh, sure.
Oh, he's leasing it from the city.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Then my question is, how far out is there, what's a reasonable look in 5, 10, 20 years out as the city expands and, you know, when they look at the comprehensive land use plan, how far out do they look?
From in the plan, like what's the range of the plan?
Yeah, like if expansion of the
sure.
wastewater treatment plant.
Sure. I'm not sure the exact range of it. I do know that the plan itself was written in 2008.
And we're supposed to write another one.
And we're working, yeah,
yeah,
there's a group.
Yeah, we're working on a new one, so
yeah.
I think that could certainly be a consideration when we're authoring the new one. Leslie, do you have a
go ahead, Leslie. Own this property when the comp plan was developed in 2008?
Hence the silence.
It owned it after that.
Okay.
When the wastewater plant was built out there, that's when
mm-hmm.
that.
Well, it was,
I believe,
annexed
2010,
in. Yeah.
I think, something
sounds about
like
right.
that rings a bell. And then, of course, they sold the property to Walnut Poultry in 2015, I believe. If the wastewater plant would expand, I believe it would go further actually to the west. The way the plant is designed right now, it would go more
the brush
west.
Site. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's only because of the way the plant is designed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. I'm just looking around.
Do the proceeds from the land sale cover the cost of the destroyed crop fee to the farmer?
We don't have to pay for that. The Wilmer Poultry has to pay the farmer for that, not us. They get paid, but
we'd rather have it taken out. But
yeah.
Hopefully he does.
Yeah.
Good for
most of the crops out there are already in.
Yeah. All right, any further discussion? All right. There's a recommendation of approval of the purchase agreement to the city council. I would accept a motion at this time.
Motion
from Stephanie. Is there a second?
All second.
And a second from Terry. All right, motion and second for the approval. We'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Bashir.
Aye.
Commissioner Frank.
Aye.
Commissioner Dressler.
Aye.
Commissioner Carlson.
Aye.
Commissioner Seek.
Aye.
Commissioner Kipling.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. Thank you. Very good. All right, our next item then is the Wilmer Poultry rezone. Or am I skipping ahead?
No, you're good.
No, I'm good. That's right.
Okay.
All right.
So this is, this item pertains to rezoning the land that will be purchased in the previous item. I don't want to repeat myself on too many items, but there is some new information here. So what we want to rezone it from government to ag once it's sold and acquired, and there are aerials depicting what this will look like in your packet. It's surrounded by city-owned government zoning to the northwest and south, and it is bordered by St. John's Township across 75th Street southwest to the east. So again, they're going to be using this to create a turkey brooding facility, which as I understand it, and we do have a representative from Wilmer Poultry here, as I understand it, this facility will be quite innovative and it will bring some jobs to our area. And so because it's an expansion, so that brooding facility was initially approved by the commission back in 2015 as a conditional use in an ag zone. And because this is an extension of an already approved use, it doesn't require the sort of scrutiny that, say, like a conditional use review would or a plan review would. All of those things as far as setbacks, easements, and all sorts of other technical requirements, that'll be reviewed at a staff level. But it won't find itself before the commission again because it's an extension of an already approved use. I guess if there's any curiosity about it, they do have certain public utilities out there. They do not, they have their own water, but they do use our sewer and they do use our electric, and I have not heard any concerns as to capacity with the new expansion or anything like that. And so, with that, staff recommends that the commission approve the rezone and forward this item to the city council for further hearing and ordinance adoption. This does require a public hearing. Mm-hmm.
So as you need to have a public hearing at 6:42, we will open that period. If there's any public comment. Jonathan, you want to talk a little bit about it for us?
Yeah, sure. So we've had the building for 7 years. We primarily use that for research. The last 2 years, I made a lot of advancements. We brought in equipment from Europe, Asia, and kind of combine that into a proprietary process, kind of taking a bunch of equipment from the chicken industry, and then we've earned exclusive rights to turkey use by helping them adapt that equipment for use in a new industry. Okay, so that facility, we're actively using that with some of the big local turkey companies to do testing and advance that equipment. We've gotten to the point now where we can prove that there's quite a bit of value addition to that, the growth process. And so we're planning on turning that research project into two different companies. One of those companies will operate that larger building at a production scale for a local turkey company that we're negotiating with. So that's that, and then we'll also take all of the stuff we've learned from there and lease or sell that turkey system into other turkey operations around the world.
Sure.
So kind of, you know, we kind of did that same similar thing. Our organization did that with Novatech years and years ago. This is just another version, kind of pointed in a different direction, different equipment. And so that's our goal, and then we'll continue to use this facility to operate, but also do continuous research, bring in new equipment, new products, develop new products, and then sell those to that other company. So I'm guessing the facility there's a lot of automation. We're buying about $4.5 million of automation that'll go in that expanded building. But even with that, I'm guessing 30 to 50 people, new jobs for this area. Some of them technical, biologic, technical type stuff, maintenance for all the automation, and some like entry level labor type stuff. And then the sales company, we have everything from PhD research scientists to field research leaders, that type of thing. So that's what we're doing with it. At least that's the plan. It's a lot of work. But it's good work. Yeah. So gotta make Grandpa proud, right?
All right, thank you. Any other public comment at this time? Any other public comment at 6:46, then we will close the public hearing portion. Commissioners, discussion or questions you may have?
I think it would be terribly rude of us not to approve the rezone after having just approved the sale.
Indeed. All right, then there is a motion or a recommendation to approve the rezone and forward the item to the city council. Is there, jumping ahead, is there a motion? I assume there is a motion.
Yes, there's a motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second. Very good. And as a rezone, we do need, no, that's next. You're right. But roll call vote. All right. Commissioner Bashir?
Aye.
Commissioner Frank?
Aye.
Commissioner Dressler?
Aye.
Commissioner Carlson?
Aye.
Commissioner Seek?
Aye.
Commissioner Kipling?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. There we have it. Thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Do you need me anymore?
No.
All right. Let me know if you have questions. Happy to answer them.
You got it.
Can
Thank
I
you for coming.
When you're done building?
Sure. Depends on if the operator lets us bring people in there.
Ah, yes.
Biosecurity.
Biosecurity, yes.
All right. On to our next item, the Block 25 Minor Subdivision.
Thank you.
Coyote.
Okay. Next up is Block 25 Minor Subdivision, file number 2106. The applicant is Lumber One Development Company, and they are requesting a subdivision that would allow for the construction of 57 units, four-story loft-style multifamily structure. And just a little bit of background, the City of Wilmer Planning Commission has approved a conditional use permit to allow for the use of this proposed project on June 30, 2021. The site plan includes a parking space on the at the northeast corner of the development, and an underground parking system is also available, will be available. Although the zoning ordinance requires a 0-foot setback in Central Business District, a 5-foot utilities easement bordering the entire property was agreed to by the planning department, the WMU engineering, and the developer. The property is zoned Central Business District and falls within the Renaissance Zone, which is an overlay district encompassing the CBD. And the proposed property will be accessed off 3rd Street Southwest. Because this property abuts Highway 12, we wrote MnDOT just to get their comment, just for review and get their comment. And they commented that any signage cannot overhang into state highway right of way. And since it does not appear to have any proposed access onto Highway 12, unless that, you know, happens, we should contact the permit coordinator, and the contact for that coordinator has been given. The engineering department also made a comment. The fire department commented that they have to add, they might have to add additional fire hydrant, and police chief has no concern at this point. With this, staff recommends the approval of the preliminary plat with the following conditions: that the declarations covenant for party wall exterior maintenance and shared driveway shall be submitted to staff and recorded concurrently with plat for ease of tractability. All MnDOT comments shall be stratified. All fire chief, marshal, engineering, public works, and MUC comments shall be met, adhered to, and additional information supplied as requested.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions or discussion?
Has there been any changes on the parking plans on the that was first submitted? Because there's a statement in here that there will be parking on the northwest corner of the property, and
not
before that was considered to be open space.
The green space.
The northeast.
Northeast, right.
You said northwest. I'm the northeast.
Yeah, okay.
But we had made the condition that they would turn that into parking if it was needed.
And that's the question. Has there been a change to the plans?
I believe so. I believe that's why they're having a parking lot in Northeast.
So the parking lot now is going to extend over the entire north end?
Ted is here on behalf of the project to speak to any questions in regards to parking, but I think that might have, maybe it was supposed to say northwest. I don't believe we've changed the parking plans at this point.
Correct, it's northwest.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's northeast.
So the surface parking will be in the northwest, just north of where the building's going to be, and then underground parking as planned as well.
Okay. We do have, if there is a parking issue, we do have green space to the northeast that we could expand to. That would be, if we do need to do that parking to the northeast, it would lay out much better if we had access off of 3rd for that, because if we have the driveway going down into the underground garage area is in the center of the building, and that's creating an issue if we have to drive from the northwest over to the northeast on that and go between the slope of the drive going down and 12. Mm-hmm. So if we had a separate parking spot on the northeast, and then those parking spots would not be able to access the underground garage. The only way to get to the underground garage would be coming from 4th. So if that came up, I would be coming back to you and asking, yes, we can add the parking if that's a problem. But can we get an access off of 3rd to get into that parking space?
Where's the current access?
It will be on 3rd.
On 3rd. Mm-hmm.
It's between 2nd and 3rd.
2nd and 3rd.
Off of Benson.
2nd Street is where
Street.
Yeah,
3rd
is
on the west side.
Okay,
it's
on
the
right.
So
the building sits between 2nd and 3rd.
Is there a site plan included in the packet after the last?
Yeah.
That would really helpful to be able to visualize what we're trying to explain.
So did you see the grill and the, what is it?
The dog.
The dog run, yeah.
Pet area.
Sure.
That would be where the additional parking spaces would need to be.
And that would not have access to the underground, so
correct.
That's why you would need that.
So you want access from 2nd Street?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So it just...
Okay.
Isn't 2nd Street the... if you're coming off at 12 and you want to go over the bridge on 71 2nd Street, so you only one, right? And then...
Yeah.
So from this plan, the only access is from the 3rd Street at
Third
this
Street.
Point.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which is not a change from what it was.
Pardon?
Not a change from what it was when you reviewed the CP. Mm-hmm.
This is just for a subdivision, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is building longer now than when we looked at it first. So I thought it was shorter than there was parking was gonna be on the west side of the building. That's the way I remember it. I remember the building being the entire block. Anyway, whatever. That's not here there, so we're doing a subdivision, so.
You might have did that one here across
the only thing I see that is new would be that pet room. I don't think that was laid out last time, but I love it, so. Yes, pet-friendly apartments.
All right, any further discussion?
Was there a question? Is this being asked to have access, or are they just saying in the future that it would have to be reevaluated?
In the future, that'd be a... would need to come here.
Second Street,
but. Yeah, okay. Off the second street.
Just a question. What was the rationale in limiting this to one access from the original design on a project that takes the entire block?
Yeah, this is different.
There was one access when you reviewed it for the conditional use permit as well. The site plan that you're seeing in this packet has not changed from what you first reviewed and approved.
I understand that. But the question is, what was the rationale for having just one access? It would seem to me that it would, at least having the second access would be a system facilitating access for school buses, for fire, police, et cetera. And those departments never commented on it.
I don't think school buses are going to go into the program.
I understand.
Yeah. I think it's the nature of the central business district, right? When we think about a central business district, we think about a higher density and a little bit different design than we might see elsewhere in town. And I think from an engineering and traffic safety standpoint, while there is only one access, instead of having multiple accesses close to these traffic lights and intersections right on Highway 12 there as well, MnDOT's certainly happy to see removal of some access points off of Highway 12. Going on to some of these side streets provides a little bit more safety from that standpoint too. And because of just being an older portion of town, right, the blocks are a little, this section of blocks is a little bit shorter in length than normal as well. We haven't seen a replat of downtown really since it was platted back in the 1800s, so we're getting a little creative and thinking contextually and creatively about what our solutions look like to provide safety and continue to provide amenities and housing and all sorts of different things that make sense for Wilmer today.
Yeah, because other than 3rd Street or potentially 2nd, it would just be right off of Highway 12, and no other, I'm not thinking of any other business along that stretch that has any kind of access, unless you count that little, you know, that end of the street that goes in past Frida's, but that's not, you know.
I can't imagine that it would get very congested with 57 units of people. Not any more congested than is on Wilmer Avenue outside of middle school every day, twice a day.
We've done multiple projects in 100 unit and larger, slightly larger than that, with single accesses. So this is half the size of those projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had a pushback on that for the times being involved.
For emergency services, and it's surrounded by roadways. Yeah. So.
And you would.
There's roof access, and there was one comment about the additional fire hydrant, but that hasn't been.
Okay.
The final comment hasn't been done on that, but if we have to add an extra fire hydrant,
when they
make their final comments, then.
Just north of your hill. Up there.
Because I don't think you'd want to be staging apparatus that close to a building if it was involved anyway.
Yeah.
You'd want a little distance other than.
They'll certainly be on the road.
Yeah.
I how it was split out. So there's the sections that were for the dry cleaners, and then for the parking lot was, and Terry might be able to speak to this a little bit better than I, there was a gas station at one point. Mm-hmm. I know we've looked at the sandboard maps before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just how it's been pieced out over time with some developments that no longer exist mm-hmm. on those properties.
So we just want to put it all back together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly what we're doing.
Good? Yeah, whatever.
All right, any further discussion? All right. There's a recommendation to approve the preliminary plat with those conditions as were previously stated in your packet. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
The motion is there, a second?
Second.
And a second. Very good. We do need to read our findings of fact before we vote. For the subdivision application, this commission finds that all the applicable provisions of the municipal code and ordinances are complied with, including but not limited to the zoning and stormwater ordinances. There is no factual demonstration of a substantial, appreciable negative impact to the present and potential surrounding land uses. The area surrounding the subdivision can be planned and developed in coordination and compatibility with the proposed subdivision. The subdivision is consistent with the city comprehensive plan. The subdivision preserves and incorporates the site's important existing natural, scenic, and historical figures to the greatest extent possible. All land intended for building sites can be used safely without endangering the residents by perils from floods, erosion, continuously high water table, severe soil conditions, or other menace. And the subdivision can feasibly be served with public facilities, infrastructure, and services, and the developer will satisfy this ordinance's requirements for the construction of such public facilities and infrastructure. There is a motion and a second on the table. Commissioner Beshear.
Aye.
Commissioner Frank.
Aye.
Commissioner Dressler.
Wait. Oh. Aye, but I just want a clarification. I believe you'd want recommendation B to be as satisfied, not as stratified. Aye.
Oh.
Commissioner Dressel.
Aye.
Commissioner Carlson.
Aye.
Commissioner Seek.
Aye.
Commissioner Kipling.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. And thank you, Cleese.
Go, please. You make the multiple comments. So what's stratification?
Well, the stratified part is the part of stratification. We got problems.
All right, very good, thank you. Our next item, Ben, is the Block 25 TIF plan. Would you like to take that one? Haley, that's all you.
Yes. Essentially, this is Block 25 TIF plan. This is just for the Planning Commission to recognize Block 25 as a TIF district. The project is going to be about... it's going to cost about $10 million, and the plan estimates over $1 million in tax increment revenue, which is going to be diverted into TIF eligible costs, including acquisition, demolition, environmental remediation, site preparation, and public improvement. And the TIF proposal is in compliance with the City of Wilmer's TIF policy, and staff does not find any conflict with Wilmer's comprehensive plan. At this point, I might want to invite Mr. Bachman to say a little bit about the TIF plan.
Sure. Commissioners, Chair, we're very pleased to have Ted here, the developer from Lumber One. He has been steadily working on this project. It's taken a little bit longer to get to this point because there were some environmental issues that were identified as part of a phase one, phase two process, including identification of some petroleum that was up to 12 feet deep on a city parking lot in the western portion of it. As well as some chemicals related to the dry cleaner on the east side. And then recently, there was identified under the city parking lot buried construction materials. Not ideal for construction. When that was put there, I don't know, and why it was put there, I can't say. But this project not only provides more housing for Wilmer, but it cleans up a site that is an issue, including a city-owned parking lot that has several identified environmental issues. So I think it's important, this part of the rationale for TIF is to have remediation done. And that will be a significant component to the TIF. That is, there are various eligible TIF costs that are associated with the redevelopment, such as site clearance, demolition, for example, think of the Blue Quonset, for example, which, by the way, there's a fairly descriptive condition of it, that you name it, there's an issue with the Blue Quonset. In terms of not having an accessible entrance, the bathroom improperly altered, awning in danger of collapsing, open electrical boxes, on and on. So that building needs to go away, and this project enables that. But beyond that, it certainly, in this particular case, a remediation of the soils would be appropriate. I don't know if phase two is close, but it's getting there.
They sent us the draft, and right now they're thinking our soils cleans up, you know, could approach $500,000 alone.
So a significant cost for the developer is to clean up this block. So. And that, depending on how much, worst case scenario, might be 30,000 cubic yards. That would be the worst case scenario. So if each load, you know, you've got 10 yards, there about, you know.
10, 12, yeah.
Yeah, per load, that's 1,500 loads. That's a lot.
You have to dig out all 12 feet?
That's, we're going to have the inspectors out there, so there's pockets down at 12 feet and then it comes up, so we're hoping that the majority is just going to be down to a footing level, taking it all the way down to 4 feet through the whole building site. And well, now, because where the parking lot is where the contamination is, we got to go into the parking lot. Essentially, where the current entrance is into the city parking lot, that's where they're finding it, right underneath that entrance. So we're going to go.
So hopefully, if that's the worst case scenario, hopefully it's less than that. But this is one of the reasons why it's taking a little bit longer to go through the process here. But we're fortunate that we have an experienced developer.
Thank you.
Sarah, did you have anything else you wanted to?
I think, like we've been talking about for a while with this project, I think brownfield sites can be challenged, and we're really thankful and fortunate to have a developer as a partner in this project that this kind of thing hasn't made him just walk away. But we've got some tools to assist, and TIF is exactly that tool in this case that makes the most sense. So we're thankful to be able to clean up a site, which is something we all want to see, and also have an exciting result at the end as well. So.
Thank you, guys. Commissioners, any further questions or discussions?
I have a question, just so I understand the acronym TIF. So it's to help developers, do these kind of projects. For this specific process that's going on with contamination of the soils and not knowing exactly what the cost would be and stuff like that, is there a oversight by the city in any way to determine the actual cost of that? Or is it just strictly up to the developer to say this was the cost?
Question. I'm not sure. Aaron?
What I would say is that right now, Baker, Tilly has run the numbers in terms of what this project might generate in terms of tax increment financing. He's done that, identified it. We've put together a budget of our best estimates of where things are at today. The budget line items can be adjusted, but the overall total is the total. That's the maximum. And so at this point, obviously the developer will have to identify and provide documentation on all those eligible costs. So when I've worked on other projects, TIF projects, it can be binders of information in terms of what costs, what eligible costs are identified.
We're far exceeding the TIF eligible cost requirements in here. That's it's not like it's going to be close.
In other words, he's probably going to exceed the million, significantly above a million in terms of eligible costs.
Just in all portions or just soil corrections?
We don't know yet on the soil corrections, but a significant portion of that.
And oversight of all this is done through the MPCA, and they hire professionals that oversight what soils have to be taken out. It's not something the city oversees. It's done by the professionals. And then they also determine if it can just be mitigated or if it can stay and just mitigated by air
or vapor.
And vapor barriers and things like that. If it's not too significant, they can do it with vapor barriers.
Is that part of the estimate of that number you gave us, that 500,000 number?
The 500,000 would be an estimate for the soil removal. If you're talking about vapor barrier itself, that might be 80 to 100,000 just in that piece.
Or any possible future controls,
right?
If they require it.
Right.
PCA requires it.
Now, the TIF only allows payment back of so much, and that's based on what the value of the property is today compared to the value that Ted is putting into the project. So that's what it's called. It's a tax increment financing tool. So it's what is the tax generated today to what the tax is going to be generated in the future. And then those, that additional tax generated is what can be, 90% can be paid back to the bill.
Reimbursed?
Yes.
For approved costs.
Right, for approved costs. And
yeah,
like we said, he's definitely going to have more up in the improved cost under the soil soil corrections. It's going to be probably the majority of that approved cost. So he's not recapturing anything on his, what he's actually putting in for concrete and things like that.
I think page 11 of the TIF agreement addresses that specific point. As well as the assumptions report, too. And the
numbers for you.
Yep. All right. Any further questions or discussions or points? All right, there is a recommendation then to approve without conditions and advance this item to the City Council. We do have an ordinance. It is the resolution of the Planning Commission finding the tax increment financing plan for tax increment financing redevelopment district block 25. Redevelopment conforms to the city plans for development or redevelopment of the city as a whole. Should be in your packet. If there's no further discussion, I would accept a motion at this time.
Yes, sir.
There's the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And second. Motion and a second. Take a voice vote. Commissioner Beshear.
Aye.
Commissioner Frank.
Aye.
Commissioner Kessler.
Aye.
Commissioner Carlson.
Aye.
Commissioner Seek.
Aye.
Commissioner Kipling.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. There we go.
I'm going to miss the Quonset, though.
It is.
Well, maybe you could have it delivered to you.
Can I have it?
You can.
It is a particular shade of blue you don't
see.
You
probably buy it for a dollar and then have the
Pine
or Marcus move it for you.
Marcus will help you move it.
Good. All right. Thank you for coming tonight. Everybody. All right.
Are you asking for a motion?
Well, I was expressing gratitude. Now we move on. Is there any further miscellaneous or items that any of the commissioners wish to bring up in this meeting?
I believe the EDC has some update on the RDC.
The what has it done?
Okay.
RDC, did you want to speak to that at all?
The EBT has something on an RTC or something. What was you just saying?
The EDC,
speaking
the EDC, that is Aaron and Sarah.
Yes.
I have an update.
All right. So, logistics project. I think we are on the home stretch. We've gone through 13 versions of the development agreement. And so we've hammered things, well, hopefully not each other, but we've hammered it out. That's great. We already had a purchase agreement approved, and we've been working steadily on a development agreement. That will go before the council on the 18th, next Monday. The various documents were posted on the city's website. There was a fair amount of discussion related to the signalized light situation on CR5 and Wilmer Avenue. And I don't know, do you want to mention how that group got handled?
Yeah, they RDC National hired a company to do the traffic signal lighting study, the traffic lighting, and in their study it showed that even after the additional traffic that is going to be generated with the logistics company, it really doesn't warrant a traffic signal. So it doesn't even come close to the warrants. The warrants are based on MnDOT specifications, and you have to have over 400 vehicles, I believe, during these certain time frames. And they're not even close to 200 during those time frames, if I'm not mistaken. So at this point in time, it doesn't warrant a traffic signal. So right now, that still could be a sticky point because in our agreement, right now, the draft agreement that's going to the council on Monday night says that the city will continue to look at the traffic, and we would anyway, because as we put more companies out there, then maybe the warrants will, of course, at that point in time. But also, it might not be the best place to have a traffic signal either. Traffic signals nowadays are not really what a lot of people like anyway. And so maybe a different path of traffic would be better. And such, so, and as that develops to the west further, who knows how that's all going to look anyway. So so in the agreement it says in 2024 we will take another study on it. 2026 we would do another study. So, and who knows, by 2024 maybe other companies are out there and totally they do a traffic study on their own for us by that time. So,
and I would add too that MnDOT evaluates traffic counts, average daily traffic counts on different roads in the area here, from the data I've seen, our fastest growing in terms of vehicular counts in the city has been CR5. We're up 2,000 vehicles a day, and it's running about 7,000 vehicles a day, but it's not enough to meet the warrants for MnDOT. And in this state, even though it's a county road and a city road, MnDOT is the one that determines whether you have the street light or not. But I think it's one of those things where we'll continue to observe it, because if there's other projects that happen, that could very well tip it to the point where there's sufficient warrants. And all you have to do is look at other cities that have had a cluster of distribution centers. So I can think of, for example, the city of Rogers. Rogers has 8 major distribution centers. Well, this is our first major one. Will it be our last? I don't know on that. There could be other ones, in which case I think it behooves the city and the county to continue to monitor and study this. The developer is, I believe, satisfied with the language that's been hammered out, and we'll see how things progress. Is that kind of a fair assessment at this point? They're eager. That is, the developer's eager to get in the ground. They've pre-positioned some equipment out there, and so hopefully we have a meeting of the minds and everything moves ahead on the 18th.
When you say that MnDOT is ultimately the authority that determines whether or not you're able to place a streetlight, is that just streetlights in particular, or any kind of a alteration, like a roundabout, anything that changes that flow of traffic?
Yeah. Okay. Anything. You still have to meet MnDOT specifications, mm-hmm. so you still have to meet their warrants,
To change anything than just
street. If it's
street,
a city residential street, the city would probably have jurisdiction over it, but when you have this as a county road, also, mm-hmm. No matter what, we're at the bottom of the totem pole as far as saying what can happen out there. It'll be MnDOT first, and then the county, and then the city. So,
of a stacked jurisdiction.
Yeah. So we don't get to say what we want. We would like.
Sure.
And I do see other development happening. I just had a discussion with Randy Dooley today at our job fair, and he was talking about some of his future plans. So I see more traffic getting dumped onto CR5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a growing corridor.
It is, and then, in respect to that too, we also, it hasn't really been determined where the Y is going to go out there either yet. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a major part.
The city spur.
Yeah, the spur.
The spur.
That's a major part that needs to be filled in yet, so that you can finish deciding how your road should move around deep too. So.
What group initially pushed for streetlight?
RDC.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Jeff?
Next week? Meeting? No meeting.
Absent, barring the sky falling, I think we will not meet next week, and we will not meet until that first Wednesday of November.
Geez, Jonathan, I'm so sorry that I'm not going to have that, so I have to take over for you. So I was more concerned about that. Anyways, he's going to take me gone. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Your concern is noted. Thank you. All right. Barring anything else, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.